Sometimes it can feel like your parents are out to get you. And until you have photographic proof, assume that they are. Good evening, and welcome to Gore, a horror podcast to keep you up at night. I'm the Wicked Kitten, always getting into mischief, and with me, as always, is my lovely co-host, TV's Travis.
Wait, who am I here?
Also with us is the endearing, the ethereal Faye.
Hi.
And lastly, the dread you've been feeling since you hit play on this podcast,
Dreadly.
Hello.
So, yeah, here we are again. Another amount of time has gone by. And
2 weeks even.
Yeah, 2 weeks.
Two weeks.
Filled with lots of stuff. So let's find out what you're doing, what you're watching, how you been, Travis.
I finished up Cagepalooza 2022. That was fun. I will recommend all five movies that I watched. Pig is incredible, by the way. It's a very, very good movie. Then I started playing Bioshock Remastered on my stream, which is super fun. I'm not very good at it yet, but all the controls are different from Borderlands, which is the last game that I played, so I keep hitting the wrong keys. I go to sprint and it opens up my weapons menu, and I go to crouch and I'm doing something completely different, so I'm having to retrain my brain.
But yeah,
it's fun.
I remember playing it a long time ago.
Well, yeah, game
you came kindly.
Out 2005?
I will murder you, Dread.
Aw. I like that we're all starting to talk to each other like everyone, each other, but words.
Nailed it.
Like we're friends?
No. I was going to say, like I tell him I'm going to kill him, and then I feel bad because I'm like, do people think I'm going to be a murderer someday? But then you say it, and it makes it fine.
Because I'm your friend till the end.
Yeah. Yeah, it's not like people say I'm going to kill them and then actually do it, right? Mm-hmm. Speaking of,
I don't know if I'd spend the money to get to Dread.
Yeah,
it's not worth it to kill him for that much money.
Wow. It's not even worth it to come and kill you, Dread. Think about that. That's what she just said.
Yeah, I feel appreciated here.
Listen, Dread, I would spend the money to come and kill you. Okay.
Thank you. That means a lot to me.
It's nice to have money then.
So, what you watching? How you going? Where you been, Faye?
Sleeping. But other than that, watching She-Hulk, which just started up, which has been pretty good so far. But I've always liked the She-Hulk character, and they're doing pretty good with it. So, awesome.
I've been enjoying that too. She-Hulk is really well done.
Do you catch this week's episode?
Yeah.
Yeah. What else have I done?
You haven't played D&D for like a month. I know that.
No, we haven't. I think over a month. Almost two.
Wow.
It sucks.
Things keep getting in the way.
Yeah. I watched a movie and I watched a horror movie and I can't remember which one it was, but I did watch Samaritan, which was actually better than expected.
It's
the superhero one with Stallone. Yeah. It's better than expected.
I was looking at the cover of that and I'm like, that looks kind of like Stallone.
Well, he's gotten old, as people do.
I mean, he's in his, 70s now?
He's
going to be 80, come on, right? No?
But it was actually better than expected. There was a horror movie that I watched, too, that obviously was... No, Bruce Campbell wasn't in this one. I love Bruce Campbell.
I see what I see in my stats. Yeah.
No, because this was on Shudder. And I don't
new
remember
new
Shudder movie? Oh, So Vamp. It's LGBT.
Ooh.
Mixed with vampires. It was okay. It's obviously low budget, and you can tell by the acting. But it was pretty interesting. Check it out if you want to support LGBT creativity.
Yeah. Definitely sounds good.
By the way, Sylvester Stallone is 76 years old.
Yeah.
So hitting that halfway mark there. Yep. Wow.
Damn near an octogenarian. Rocky has gotten old.
Yeah.
Rocky's next movie is rocking chair.
How long have you been holding that joke?
I make these up on the fly. Jesus.
Sure. So Dreadly, what you been? Who you watching? How's it going?
Those are words. Yes. Well, video game wise, it's pretty simple. I've been continuing my Final Fantasy X journey, and I am nearly at the end. So
nearly.
Yeah. Have you perfected his laugh?
I did get to the part where he's like talking, and then he suddenly talks really, really fast because the animation was short and they had to say a lot of lines in like a second. They sped up the reading in English. That's funny. But yeah, other than that, not many games were played. I am preparing for October, so plenty of creepy games there.
Yay!
But movie-wise, we watched Glorious.
Oh, yeah.
Which is that new movie.
Fun.
Oh, that is such a good movie.
Yeah.
I mean, without spoiling anything, there's some tentacles involved, and that's always a good thing.
Don't let them in. Don't call them in. You'll regret it.
Yeah, definitely check that out. In non-horror movies, I've also finally seen, after a long time, Free Guy.
Oh, yeah.
Which is just damn hilarious.
Yeah, it was very good.
So sweet. Aww. Yeah. I really liked it. And you know what it is? It's like the perfect date movie, too. Because it's funny and sweet.
Yeah.
It's great. That or Deadpool. Anything with Ryan Reynolds.
Yeah.
You know, especially with Ryan Reynolds, getting basically. Anybody. Any
I
Ryan
thought
Reynolds.
It's a superhero movie. But that guy just shish kebab the other guy.
He's great. Let's all take a moment to think about Ryan Reynolds.
If you're listening, Ryan, please contact us.
For
anything.
Yes, he's a big fan of the show, I'm sure.
Yes.
You never know.
You know what?
Speaking of fans of the show, I also watched Jungle Cruise with Dwayne Johnson, which. Mm-hmm. It was way better than I expected. I had zero expectations of that movie, and it was
good. Well, you went into the movie based on a Disney park ride with low expectations? Shocked. Shocked, I say.
Know.
But a good Disney park ride.
It's
I like
still
that.
A theme park ride.
And it's starring like, Mr. Charisma?
And
Charisma has charisma?
Fire. He was on fire with the dad jokes. Oh, and I loved all of them. And I was like, yeah. I want to be him when I grow up.
You are him.
You best hit the gym.
You gotta eat that 16 things of chicken breast and 45 eggs in the morning.
Look, so. This is a podcast. There is no video. Don't say these things. I can be whoever I want in demise of our listeners.
That's true.
Yeah.
But I thought you were just this quivering mass of tentacles.
Yeah, we can't even see.
I work out.
If we look directly at you, we'll lose our minds, right? Or something, or gross.
That's how that goes. I don't know, something.
Turn to stone. I have no idea.
Anyways, Martha, how about you?
Thank you for asking. I have been playing massive amounts of Hearthstone, which is due to the expansion that I've been talking about in the last couple of episodes. Lots of controversy in that world because they added a new monetization system and people are understandably pissed, I guess, is the word for it. So it's been interesting. You can check out my further thoughts on that on the latest episode of Hearth Casual. Other than that, I have watched some of those movies with Dread as well. And I don't know if I mentioned it. Have I mentioned that I watched through A League of Their Own, the series?
No.
No.
Okay. Well, I watched through it. It is fantastic and just wonderful. Also very LGBTQ. Written.
I've heard that it's really good. I mean, I love the movie, so I was hopeful that the series would be good, and it's good to hear.
If you watch the movie and you were like, I'd like more gay in this, the show's got you. I'm saying, because I know I watched that movie and was thinking that. Definitely check it out. Well made and whatnot. It's funny, I don't like baseball, but I like movies that have baseball in it. It's a weird, side thing. But watched that really quickly. And I've started the, what is it called? The Paper Girls? It's this other Amazon series.
I'm
3 episodes in, I think. It's really weird right now. I'm not really sure what's going on still. Well, I mean, I understand, but there's stuff I don't get yet. Yeah, good.
It gets explained to a point. I want them to continue with the series.
Yeah, I'm hoping so. Cause it's just,
and it's based on a comic book.
Yeah. Really good though.
If you like the series, check out the comic book.
Yeah. But speaking of movies and shows like we just did, I think it's time to peek around that corner and give you some of the highlights of horror news.
Well, recently there has been some trailers that are getting released for the Halloween season.
Woo!
One that I'm interested in is Slayers. Basically, their tagline is killing vampires with the help of social media.
Wow.
Bunch of social media.
So we're going to tweet at them until they die?
Basically. Gonna Uber them some garlic.
Maybe some steaks, some wooden steaks to go through the heart. Oh,
yeah,
it's basically the vampires are setting up some big thing and then they're inviting a bunch of socialites, social media people, the big wigs of the social media and killing them. So it's just people trying to survive that. So
I was going to say, we're trying to stop that?
No, they're trying to survive. The TikTokers and the tweeters are all trying to... Yeah, all the influencers are trying to survive the vampires.
So we're actually rooting for the vampires in this.
Yes.
Yeah, it depends. We'll see.
It's just the TikTokers and influencers. So go vampires!
Yeah,
it could be,
but it looks pretty good.
Yep,
I do like vampires.
Oh, Lost Boys came on TV today while I was during my lunch, and I was like, "Oh yes!"
Oh, Lost Boys, we have to do Lost Boys
eventually.
Another trailer that I saw that came out for Prime Video is My Best Friend's Exorcism. like, imagine it, it's the 80s, and, you know, your friend gets possessed by a demon, you know? It happens. It's like every other 80s story that you've ever heard. But it looks really freaking cool. I don't know if it's actually going to be any good, but it sounds like right up, well, my alley.
Yeah. I mean, from the trailer, it really looks fun. To not have actually a better word, but yeah, I mean, I'm all for it.
Mm-hmm. I like that it's two, like, girl best friends and whatnot. So, like, it's a dynamic that, I don't know. I don't see it very often, or as often, I guess. Well, I'm seeing it more now. You know, you think about Fright Night, and it was like the kid and his friend, the other guy friend, and, you know, the horror host guy. It was all guys, basically, is all I'm trying to say. And this is like, well, it's demons, but still, you get my point. Yeah. So I can't wait to see. Well, I think it's actually out now, right? I didn't actually. No, September 30th.
Okay.
Comes out September 30th. Oh. Yeah. We forgot to mention that Thomas Jane is in this Slayers thing. Holy crap.
Mm-hmm.
He's like a vampire hunter. I haven't seen Thomas Jane since, I think, Hung.
Another one. It's kind of hard to say if it's actually horror, but it definitely has some very interesting vibes going to it. It's called Nanny. Apparently it did the run for Sundance stuff and is very popular there. And from the preview, it looks very interesting, and I can't wait to see it.
Based on a TV series?
Oh, yeah.
I somehow doubt it.
Yeah. Oh, you're making a joke. I hate you. I hate you so much.
Oh, the nanny. I get it. Ha, ha, ha. Yeah, a TV show, the series that I never watched.
Oh, come on now.
It's definitely a psychological horror kind of thing. I don't exactly know what's going on in the trailer, which
helps.
You know, it's be something.
The less we know, the better.
Exactly. It's like,
learn that, trailer makers.
Like, give us a little bit of a surprise. But yeah, like that, the Uma movie, which I still have to watch, with, what's her name? The chick from Grey's Anatomy, Christina. I can't remember her real name now. But yeah. Yeah, that trailer did the same kind of thing where it was not really telling you too much, but you knew there was, like, something, a presence or a ghost. One of the bigger news stories of the week, Netflix canceling the Resident Evil series after one season, which is freaking sad. Which is really freaking sad because I had planned to watch it, and so now I feel like I got it canceled, even though I'm just one person and, you know, I don't matter. But that's all I can think is I should have watched it. But then again, I waited on Chucky, too.
Right. It wouldn't have made a difference.
I know. But you know how you just feel that way sometimes? You're like, damn it, I should have watched it.
Yeah, you killed Firefly. Oh.
I watched it after it was canceled. Well, technically. I don't know. I hadn't heard great things about it.
Everything I heard was middling.
It is middling. It's got good and bad. I mean, they nailed it for Wesler. But other than that.
For who? Is that the Lance Reddick character? Wesker.
Wesker?
Whiskers.
Yeah. Wesker.
Whiskers.
You said Wesker. That's his name. I was confused.
Yeah. Oh, you should know me. I screw up names all the time.
Yeah, the Netflix movie that we watched not long ago was actually really surprisingly good, but
it was great.
Yeah, surprisingly good.
Welcome to Raccoon City. Yeah, that was awesome.
Yes.
Yeah,
with the best chill sandwich reference ever.
He brings this up every time. I swear to God, he won't stop bringing it up. Yes, it's a good chill sandwich reference. But, yeah. that's it's sad. You never know, even if it was, you know, not great in the first season, maybe it could have found more legs. It had a very cool cast, and it's disappointing. It had that dude from the movie that I like. From, yep.
You're talking about Lance Reddick.
Yes.
Lance Reddick, who played Wesker. Yeah, Lance Reddick is great. I want to watch the series just for him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I will still be watching it. I just, you know, I was waiting. I swear.
Also, a small thing that I remember now, considering we're talking about Resident Evil and those movies that they made, and the director of those movies made another movie called Monster Hunter. And I watched that just before we're recording, and I already forgot to mention that I watched it, because that's what that movie is.
Bad?
Forgettable. And terrible.
I could have told you that from the trailer. Like, Paul W.S. Anderson has a style, and his style has evolved into that, which is...
Yes.
I didn't
but
think...
I liked...
And of properties to adapt, why he adapted Monster Hunter, I'm not sure.
Oh, I still don't know why. After
and the way he did it.
No.
No. We're gonna throw American troops into this other world to fight the monsters, and then bring them back to the Earth.
Yeah, didn't
at least
make
that's
sense.
The way the trailer went. I haven't seen the movie.
No, that's the movie. That's the movie. Yeah.
Well, you knew from the trailer it wasn't gonna be good. Dredd had to watch the whole thing.
And it's unfortunate because Paul W.S. Anderson isn't a terrible director. Like, he's made good movies. I mean, he's made a good movie. and a couple that are okay. I mean,
the
he
first
made Event
Resident
Horizon.
Evil was
Event,
good.
Event Horizon is a good movie. The first Resident Evil isn't too bad.
Event Horizon
is not a good movie. It's a great movie.
It's a good movie. Sure. And the first Mortal Kombat is an enjoyable movie. There's nothing wrong with it. But
a great soundtrack.
Much better than the second.
we don't talk about that, but it just...
But the biggest story of my week, year, month, for the rest of my life, really, is the Killer Clowns from Outer Space game. Yes. If you'll remember, dear listener, we covered Killer Clowns from Outer Space back on episode 4, I believe it was. And
yeah, it was one of the first ones.
Yeah. It was like in the it was number 4. And yeah, we had such a great time with that movie and the soundtrack and everything. And honestly, much like I believe I killed Resident Evil the show, I believe this show is why that movie is getting its own game now. I mean, come on, it's gotta be because we covered it.
Or people listening to us, and they're like, oh, yeah, there's some gold in there. Let's do it.
Look, wait a minute. Okay, so they had Dead by Daylight, and then they did the Friday the 13th game, and now they're doing the Texas Chainsaw or whatever, and they did the Evil Dead or whatever. You know, what movie from the 80s can we make into a game? Oh, well, I was listening to this show called Gore, and they covered this movie called Killer Clowns from Outer Space.
On it. It must be good. So yeah.
I mean, it only takes what, like 9 months to make a game. I'm sure that's what happened.
Sure. You know? Yeah, that's exactly it.
Yep. But I'm super, super excited. It. I signed up for the beta, and still waiting to hear back. So keep your fingers crossed for me, unless they've already all gone out and I didn't get it.
I think it's more end of the year that they said it would be.
Yeah. But it's still going to be fun. It's going to be different stories. It's, you know, it's got a lot of the same, it's got a lot of similarities to, you know, the Dead by Daylight game and Friday the 13th and whatnot. Like, it's very, very similar. So I wouldn't be surprised if it's basically the same. But it's instead of, like, you know how they put the killers on the hooks in Dead by Daylight. Like in this, you know, you get wrapped in cotton candy, apparently, because, you know, that's what they do. They wrap you in cotton candy, remember?
Yep. And throw you in balloons.
Yeah, so excited, and I will keep you all updated on the game and when it comes out and how much fun I'm having with it, or lack thereof. Who knows? We'll see. Yeah. It says it's like a 3v7. I think that's what it was.
Yeah, it's not 1v4 like most of them. It's
yeah.
More.
So it is going to be different. You can play as a clown or you can play as a human.
Obviously,
clown. Survivor. Yes, the clown every day.
No one wants to be the humans, which means I'll end up playing as the humans all the time.
Yep. Aww. And we'll gladly hunt you.
I figure.
And now for tonight's feature presentation. How was school, Pumpkin?
It was okay. Got into another fight. Got expelled.
What?
Did you win, or should I start looking for a new family?
What?
Huh?
The teacher broke us up before I could win.
I'll have a talk with him tomorrow.
You're not my dad.
Wait a minute. Who am I here?
Terry. I mean, Jerry.
Oh, yeah. Jerry Blake. Thanks, honey. Father knows best.
Excuse me. I hope I'm not interrupting.
Who are you?
I'm the shrink. I'd like to have a word with you.
I'm not home.
But I can see you.
I'm not home. Please leave a message, and next time, call before you drop by. Beep.
Okay. I'll just leave.
What did you tell him, Pumpkin?
Nothing. We just talk about how much of a creep you are.
You're a very bad girl.
Don't say such things, Jerry. That's my daughter. I've known her longer than I've known you.
What's that supposed to mean?
I don't know. This doesn't make any sense anymore. What will our listeners think?
Maybe we've disappointed them?
No, we haven't made him watch Sky Sharks yet.
The Stepfather is a 1987 psychological horror film that stars Terry O'Quinn, Shelley Hack, and Jill Sholin. Based on a true story, it's a prime example of real-life horror that could and actually does happen. It's chilling for so many reasons, but mostly due to Terry O'Quinn's performance, which is nothing short of fantastic. This movie basically played on, I think it was like USA Network, all the freaking time when I was young, and I had seen it a bunch of times, obviously the edited version and the sequel, and always have had like a soft spot for it, even though it's basically like, it feels like a TV movie, but it's just, I don't know. I like it. So what did you think about it? Actually, you know, I'm going to preface this by saying that I'm pretty sure, aside from me, everybody had seen it for the first time during Joe Bob's season this past year, right?
For me, it was, yeah.
Yep.
So, yeah. So we all watched it Joe Bob style. And I'm sure that made it a little bit more fun. But how did you feel about this movie, Travis?
So, like you said, watching it earlier this year on Last Drive-In with Joe Bob was the first time I had seen it. And then I did rewatch it again for tonight's recording. It's a good little psychological thriller. It's not great. Like you saying it's sort of like a TV movie, not that far off. Although I guess the third sequel was actually a TV movie, but it's not a bad movie. I've seen better. But there's some parts of this, like there's some structure of this that is really well done. Terry O'Quinn fucking kills it. He's so good in this. And I like him anyway, but I actually quite enjoyed it. Especially in a second watching today, just kind of refreshing my memory. Like it, I will say this, the movie peaks 5 minutes in, like the first 5 minutes of the movie. That was the concept that got this whole thing made. I'm convinced of that because that opening is astonishing. It's kind of downhill from there. I did read that there's there's cut scenes, either they never filmed them or they deleted them in the edit, of flashbacks of his childhood, which helps kind of set him up a little bit, which I kind of feel like could have worked, because if I have a complaint, it's just that he's just nuts and we don't really understand quite why, but it's not done. It's not like a Michael Myers where he's just evil and that's the scary thing. He's just like this weirdly maladjusted, I'm looking for the perfect family guy. And that's the sadly kind of the weakest part of it for me, but I did quite like the movie.
It's just, I think the switching back and forth is terrifying because it feels, I think a really, before I move on to the next people, but I was like, one of those things is people with anger issues and stuff like that, they can switch back and forth so easily. Absolutely. And that, seeing that in real life is terrifying. And that's part of this movie that just friggin'.
I mean, ooh. I can go on a little bit more later. I want to hear from everybody else about the movie, but like, that's what makes Terry O'Quinn's performance so good, is his ability to portray that, especially like this guy's unhinged, but he wants to hold it together so much. Like that's what makes the opening so effective for me. How calm and collected he is. And then you see what he just did. And it's just like, I love that. That opening is so good. I could have stopped watching after 5 minutes. I'd have been fine. Like, I didn't need the rest of the movie. But so honestly, like that as like a short, like a five to 10 minute short movies
or something.
It's just super, super good. But yeah, anyway.
Dreadly.
That's me.
How did you feel about this movie?
Well, one could say this was the first time I'm watching it, because I did see this during Chobab, but let's be honest, that's 3 a.m. my time, and Chobab likes to talk and talk and talk.
That's the good part of Chobab.
Yes, but that also means that by the time the movie is finished, it's way longer than 90 minutes that a movie lasts. So I might not have remembered all of it, because stuff. But I rewatched it today, so I'm good. And I actually like this movie. As you said, it's more a thriller than an actual horror movie to me.
Mm-hmm. Well,
but
I think it's you know, thrillers and horror kind of go hand in hand. I know. And horror is,
but I would say this leans more thriller than horror. But still, I love it. And as Travis said, Terry O'Quinn's performance is amazing. Like, and also it helps. What I noticed watching it is the music when he's being angry. There's all this music playing, very loud. This, you know,
yeah,
it's a mix of everything. It's like, and then yeah,
the music is very discordant.
Yeah. That's the word I was looking for.
Discordant.
But then when he snaps out of it, the music just stops.
Yeah.
Which adds to the performance.
It adds to the performance, and it adds to that jarring feel of it too, right? Because you're getting this cacophony of sound and music and all this crazy stuff as he's freaking out, and then all of a sudden it just stops and you're like, whoa, hold on a second. It kind of jerks you out of it.
I do that a couple of times, and I just like that very much. And yeah, the opening is great, like especially with the little boat, was it, that he picks up, puts it away, you know, all orderly, neat, just, you know, dad
Round
going about and leaving for work. And then he walks by his family and they're like, okay, well done. Oh,
That shot of him coming down the stairs, because everything upstairs is neat and orderly and he's just put the boat away, and then he gets partway down the stairs and one picture is off kilter.
Yep.
And just as you're registering that picture is off kilter, you see the bloody handprint and it streaks down the wall, and then it's just the reveal of the shit show that was the living room of that house.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh God, that's just such a brilliant reveal. It's so good.
Mm-hmm. Faye, how about you? How did you feel about this movie?
It was okay. I mean, it's not one of my type of movies, which we have gotten into many times before. It's not that it was bad. And yes, his acting pretty much carried the movie. For me, it was interesting to see the back and forth, especially in his little basement man room, man cave.
The most soundproofed basement in the history of basements, by the way. Because he's down there having a freak out.
Yeah.
And she's upstairs like,
plus with the music that's playing. She's like, what the hell is that music?
What, you guys don't hear music when you start freaking out like that?
No.
Yeah.
Also, like, just a small tip for anyone at home. If you want to be creepy in your basement, make sure you're alone in there.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just a tip.
We're going to have order. Jerry, I've got the ice cream here.
Ooh.
Ice cream.
Yeah, the bipolar quick snap.
You know, and the thing with O'Quinn in this is, like, it's a character that, as written, and you know in the script, it could have been, like, comical, right? It could have been just cheese ball in the hands of a lesser actor. Like, it's Terry O'Quinn that carries the movie, like you said, but it's because he puts so much into the role. Like, it very easily could have gone way over the line, been almost a farce of what it is, but he plays it completely straight, and like that works, and it just makes it chilling.
Exactly. It's like, you know, this little movie happened to get, you know, a really decent actor in that regard.
Yep.
Which is probably why it's remembered.
Oh, it's absolutely why. Like, if this was a shit actor, or just like a crazy bad performance, like, no one's going to remember this if it's a bad performance. But
unless it's remembered, like, what's that movie where everyone's bad in it and people love it because of that? I can't think of it.
The Room?
Yeah, like something like that. Like, unless it's regarded
today,
in that.
But here's the thing. Like, if it was like that in 1987, no one would remember it. You wouldn't be able to find it anywhere. It wouldn't be available.
Oh, wait until we show you some movies. We're bringing some more. No, it was a different time back then, too.
Well, yeah, it's 100% because of his performance that this movie is remembered. Because the script is okay, and it is loosely based on a real life serial killer, or some, I guess, not even serial killer, just somebody that killed his family and then
mass murderer. I think you would say, right?
I mean, technically,
family
is more than one. But it was a guy who killed his family and then moved to another town and made it 18 years before getting caught.
Did you see where it happened?
Yeah. But taking that and, you know, embellishing it, right? So, like, Jerry in this does even more. Like, he's got his disguises, which, by the way, that toupee that he has, really good.
Doesn't he just have hair?
No. The scene where he changes into his third persona and he pulls the toupee off and puts the little mustache on, takes out his contacts and puts on a pair of glasses.
For some reason, I thought that he just shaved his head for that. Don't ask me why.
No,
they put a thing on him.
Terry O'Quinn has been balding since like the early 80s, forever. Probably. But that toupee was really good because you don't really think about it until that scene. It's like, oh shit, that's right, he's bald.
Yeah. Which also, like, that's another thing too, right? Because it's just like, he was wearing that, which means he already had that plan in his mind.
Oh yeah.
Like, it was already like a...
He did start with even longer hair.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but you know what I'm saying? Like, it's like a fail safe. Like, he could have just went to his natural hair, but he, like,
what guy doesn't have that fail safe when he needs to kill his family and leave? What?
I'm sorry.
Wait, what?
Who? What?
The thing is, one of the things with the movie is we don't know how long he's been doing this. We know about the previous, you know, the beginning of the movie and the brother, Ogilvy looking for him, but we don't know if he's done this multiple times. It certainly seems like it, given that he's, it's not like he just snapped one day, killed his family, and then decided to move on. And like, that was the first time. Like, this feels like somebody who's done this multiple times.
Yeah. They might have based it on the guy who did it hopefully once, but it's definitely somebody who's like a, like, this is their way of life.
Yeah.
Basically. Which is just crazy.
Manages to find jobs that he can, you know, real estate and that kind of thing, where it's easy to be transient. It's easy to move around.
Yeah. He's obviously very, very smart, too. That's another thing. Smart. Smart killer. Smart. That's another.
Smart and calculating.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. It's funny. At the same time, like, really intelligent, able to live not only a normal life, but a secret life. And then, but not sane enough to keep it together all the time.
Well, this family is screwing me over. Let's go find another one. And once that's ready, we kill this one.
Basically. Oh, and just lightly continuing to kill people along the way as well. Like the psychiatrist and...
Well, he was in the way.
Yeah.
He did lie to him.
True, but he could have just talked to him. Well, I guess he didn't know it was him yet. He didn't find out until after he killed him, right?
Yeah, he just thought it was a creepy guy coming to get him. Yeah.
I don't know. He must have found me. They found me. Yeah, let me not check who he is first. Let me just kill him. I'm sure there's nobody outside. I guess there wasn't, but... Also, when he tells the daughter, when she's, like, fixing her bike, there's, like, a tremendous amount of firewood behind her. And I just thought, wow, that's a lot of firewood. I don't know. It's just a random thing. It was a lot. It was like a garage full.
Yeah.
How much firewood do you need? I don't want to know.
If you've ever heated your house with wood, you would know you need a lot.
Mm-hmm. Especially during the winter.
Mm-hmm. You think they were just heating their house with wood, though?
Possibly.
Do people
Wouldn't be that surprising to me, actually.
Nope. Mm-hmm.
I figured people in cooler climates would have... I guess they're not in cooler climates, right? Where are they supposed to be?
Well, they're Pacific Northwest, Seattle area, so that it makes even more sense.
Yeah, that's true.
But it's there's plenty of houses that that heat by wood in the winter.
Just seemed like a tremendous amount of wood, but
His wood, as he said in the basement. Sometimes he just had to get off by himself. Oh yes, I noticed that line. Shut up.
Yeah, I figured you would. So I read that the screenwriter, Donald Lee Westlake, based the character of Stephanie on his real life stepdaughter. And I was like, wow. Yeah, that on the one hand, you write from real experience. On the other hand, I feel awkward as his stepdaughter. Like, does he actually want to kill me, or?
Yeah. You gave me a dog. Ah.
You named the daughter Stephanie. You named the dog Indiana.
What did you think about it, Monica?
Oh, as I said earlier, I've watched this movie a lot as a kid. It was just one of those that was on, like, on a Saturday morning. And the psychological aspect of it was always interesting, but it did scare me a lot. If you have issues with trust, this movie may not be for you, because he seems like the nicest guy. Like, he does all the stuff that he's supposed to look like the nice guy and the nice neighbor and everything. But then on the other side of it, he's, you know, a psychopath who kills people, right?
Right, but I mean, that's the trope, right? Like somebody in the news, it happens, and they're always like, oh, he was such a nice guy. He kept quiet, he kept to himself, you know, all that kind of stuff.
It's always the quiet ones.
Yeah, exactly. Quiet ones, like, you gotta watch and all that kind of stuff.
Like all the good serial killers, charismatic. Because he just moves in a new neighborhood and he immediately hits up his...
makes all the friends. How does that happen? No. How does one make friends?
In his third neighborhood, he just goes over to say hi to the neighbor and she's already like, ah.
Yeah.
Even though with his glasses and everything, he even looked like another 10 years older. Jesus Christ.
Yes. I was going to say... Jill Schoelen was playing 16, but 23 in this movie. Yep. And her mom, Shelley Hack, in this movie was 16 years older than her. Well, not in the movie, but, you know, the actress was 16 years older than her. And Terry O'Quinn is 11 years older than the daughter.
Yeah.
Stephanie Jill. And I was like, people really age differently back in the 80s.
Well, he's in his mid-30s, and it does show you something as simple as, like, again, that toupee makes him look quite a bit younger because he pulls that, and he's got the male pattern baldness, throw on the pencil-thin mustache, and he looks older.
The pencil-thin mustache.
And it also shows you how easily, because you always think, like, you know, the trope is, right, like, how does Superman putting on a pair of glasses suddenly make him unrecognizable to anybody? The thing is, he doesn't have to be like unrecognizable to close scrutiny. He just has to be able to walk past somebody. And all Terry O'Quinn does is pull that toupee off so the middle part of his head is bald, put on a pair of glasses and a little mustache, and he could walk past you and you might not recognize him. You'd have to be paying attention to realize it's the same guy.
Yep.
And it's a very simple thing.
Yeah.
And I appreciated that. And he had a lot of, you could tell he had practiced with that. That's the other thing too. It's like he had that fake mustache already. He had like the things to do another disguise. So this wasn't like it was his first rodeo.
Yeah. He was probably waiting for the other shoe to drop, which is the other side of trust issues from the crazy side, of course. Mm. Did you want to say the Freddy thing? Dread.
Ah, Mr. wearing a Freddy shirt, jersey, sweater. That's the word.
Yep. Freddy sweater.
A striped.
So I guess that's a no.
So throughout much of the film, Jerry wears the colors red and black. Even the mailbox is black with red flag. And the colors are similar to ones that define the murderous Freddy Krueger of the Nightmare on Elm Street series, which is something that Joe Bob pointed out during the show, which I find very interesting. But and
Freddy is red and green.
Yeah, well, similar, not exact, but like it's still like kind of the stripey sweater with the thing. They intentionally wanted to make sure he was wearing red because, you know, when Jerry went crazy, they would, you know, show that.
Yep.
I like it. It's little things like that. Subtle, but, you know.
Yep. I mean, it's, you know, that's good filmmaking will put in small, subtle things like that that you don't necessarily notice on a conscious level all the time. And then if it's pointed out to you, you might realize it after the fact, but it can help to kind of shape the way that you feel about whatever you're watching. I like stuff like that.
Well, yeah. It's the things that make it feel real, right? Mm-hmm. Exactly. The body count, which I didn't actually count, and I couldn't find a record of, because I don't know how many kids were on the floor of the living room, but I would say that they count because that's the beginning of the movie.
Well, before we go to the body count, because one of those body that we're counting, we haven't talked about this person yet, which is amazing, because he's the hero of the story. The hero.
Oh. The boyfriend?
No, the dude investigating the murders.
Ogilvy.
And he goes to the police. He goes to the newspaper. He learns how to shoot a gun. He goes. He rushes over. He finds him. And he dies.
He gets the worst advice from a cop I've ever heard in a movie. Where the lieutenant's like, if it was me, I'd get a gun and I'd go and shoot him.
Yep. Now.
Like, oh. Wow. Are you giving me that advice there, officer? Lieutenant?
If you're thinking at home, I'm going to hunt down a murderer and I'm going to shoot him. Don't put your gun in your pocket so that it takes like an hour to get it out. If you see the person that you're looking for and he has blood on him, don't point out the blood, perhaps. If he then shows that he's having a knife in his hand and you try to get your gun out, don't get stabbed. And then eventually when you're stabbed and you're falling down, then you get your gun out and you just wave it around a bit. And then you're just like, well, I'm out.
You heard it here, everybody. Dredd's advice, don't get stabbed.
Yes, that's basically it.
When presented with the situation. Don't get shot. Yeah, don't get stabbed.
Yep. End of the movie. He's the hero.
Ah, that dude.
Seriously.
Aww. It was funny, though.
It was funny.
And it did give us the nice line to, you know, call first before you drop by. After he dropped dead.
Ba-dum-bum.
It was the 80s. You have to have quips. There have to be one-liners after kills.
That's what I love.
Or before, if you're Schwarzenegger.
Or during.
Remember when I said I'd kill you last? I lied.
But yeah, so he definitely counts as a body count. So I would say him, the shrink, whose car blew up. It blew up. Yeah.
So, number one, don't get stabbed. Number two,
don't get blown up.
Don't get blown up.
I think that was a different car in the footage, too.
that scene's silly enough, but the scene inside the vacant house where Jerry grabs the 2x4 and just beats the brakes off that dude, that's pretty rough. Like, he goes to town on him.
Well, a good thing there was plastic sheeting there already. So.
Oh, yeah.
He takes out all his anger on that dude, by the way. Whew. Like, all of it. Everything he was saving from the man cave downstairs, he let it loose on...
Boy, did he.
So that's two. And I don't know how many there were in the first, at least three.
So
I'm going to say five.
Four.
Well, no, there's a mom and two kids, at least.
Yeah, pretty sure that first family was three. And then the shrink and the boyfriend, brother-in-law, whatever. So five. Five sounds right.
Yeah.
And thank God he didn't kill the dog.
No. Now here's a question. Do we count Jerry in the body count?
Well, no, because there's a sequel.
See, that's my problem.
Which I definitely I have to say, that knife was sticking out of his heart.
Right.
First of all, he shouldn't have gotten up and did the little extra dying scene shot falling
from. No,
he was dead. Period.
Like. Right, not just the knife sticking out of his heart, but he had been shot in the hamstring and then got up using that leg to prop up his entire body, before he then fell down the stairs. But it's like, I saw that there is a sequel, and I think we may have even had this conversation after we got done watching it from Joe Bob, where it's like, how in the sweet hell do you make a sequel to this? That dude's dead. He is dead. Like,
yeah, I need to watch that sequel and find out how they... Well,
we will.
Yeah.
We will.
That also taught us if you're shooting a gun, and apparently your gun only has three bullets in, If you're out, just, you know, hit it a little bit and it'll reload magically. Yeah,
hit the bottom of a of the handle of the revolver, and that will
she was great.
Definitely
she
clear was, the was jam.
Like shaking the bullets loose from it or something, like as they're stuck.
She just failed to yell so reload. That should have done it.
Seriously, I'm calling all of these little things like lessons from Dread or something like that. Yes. Dreadful lessons.
How to reload a gun. Just yell reload.
There is a game you can do that with.
I know.
Horrible, horrible game.
Yes. But you know what it's time for?
The 13!
The 13 is a specially cultivated list of tropes or favorite things from horror movies. This list may change or be adjusted as time goes on, and in real time, because this is real life. Number 1. Kitty cat.
No, but there's a dog.
Doggy.
Puppy. We'll give it points for pup. It's a cute pup. And a good boy.
True. It's cat-sized.
And it almost got stabbed. But it followed Dredd's advice.
It didn't get stabbed.
That's right.
And that's how he survived the movie.
And that's why dogs are better than people.
Yeah. Well, I'll do that. I thought you were going to say cats for a second, but you're right. Dogs are better than people.
I watched the Monster Vision version. And he was like, well, there's a dog. Now, is that dog going to live or die? We'll find out. And that way we'll know if they were aiming for an A movie or a B movie. Because in A movies, the dog lives, and in B movies, the dog dies. Yes. Of course, Monica has to have her say about that. But
I just mentioned Halloween. They did kill the dog in that.
Obviously, a B movie.
But that's an A movie.
No, it's B.
Only good Halloween movie was Halloween 3.
It had Tom Atkins' butt in it. And he had a great butt. Maybe he still has a great butt. I don't know, but he's not showing it anymore. Number 2. Volkswagen. No. Not that I saw.
No.
Number 3. Scary location. Time of the year.
No.
Technically, it's fall. It's always fall, apparently. It's fall.
Well, there were a lot of leaves in this movie, that's for sure. Yeah.
Well, it is the Pacific Northwest. Like, it's perpetually autumn there.
Is that true?
Kind of.
I'd like to live there.
Much more so, unless they're getting a heat wave and it's 1,000 degrees.
Oh, I don't want to live there. I want to live somewhere where it's cool, but it doesn't snow a lot.
I mean, that would be the Pacific Northwest.
Yeah. But I want air conditioning just in case, and I don't think they have air conditioning. Well, most people don't.
Pretty sure you can get that anywhere.
Well, like over there where Dredd is, they don't really have air conditioning. But now they had a heat wave, and their structuring isn't set up for air conditioning. And that drives me nuts.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just saying. You don't even have a window to put it in. Sorry, I'm just going to complain about air conditioning now. We're having a heat wave. But it is... It's kind of like, what is it, like suburbia, kind of that horror on just a normal street, you know,
yeah.
Neighborhood and whatnot.
Quiet suburban neighborhood where dark things are happening.
Yeah. Number 4, meta humor, fourth wall breaks, mentioning the title.
Well, the title is mentioned a lot.
That is true. I'll give you that.
But beyond saying the word stepfather during the movie, called the stepfather, no, because there's really like hardly any humor in the movie. I guess
one line.
there is call before you drop by.
Yeah, I also appreciated the whole calling the his company to get the girl fired, and he calls the wrong name. And he's like,
hey, oh, yeah.
Who am I here? And that's kind of funny. Come on now. And then he bashes her brains in. What? No.
Yeah.
Her nose.
That is true. That is true.
Yeah, I did chuckle at it.
But that's unintentionally funny.
I mean, is it though? I feel like it's not meant to be funny, but it is meant to be
tongue in cheek.
It's going back to the discordant thing. Number 5, archetype characters: Crazy Ralph from Friday the 13th, Randy from Scream, Dick Halloran from The Shining.
We got Dick Halloran Award winner.
Dick, we have a giant dick.
Jim Ogilvy, who literally exists in this movie to show up and then die. He does all that work. All that work.
So much work.
To just get stabbed. Go out like a punk.
Let me just point this out. Like, I watched this movie. This was on Shudder, and it came on one of the, like, they have the streaming channels that just live stream a random movie all the time. And this came on, and I was just watching it randomly. And I got to this part, and I'm just like, oh my God, that's Dick Halloran. And so I thought of the show, and I'm like, we're going to have to do this someday. So I put it on the list, and it was for September. And then Joe Bob did it on the show. And it just happened to be, like, you know, fate. But, yeah.
Is this our first Dick Halloran Award winner?
Yeah, it is.
We put that on the list back when we started the show, and it took until now before we finally got one. It's apparently not as common a trope. Yet. I know, but it's apparently not as common a trope as I thought it was when I suggested that. We'll see. Maybe it'll start showing up more. Who knows? We've broken the seal now.
It's a good thing that it doesn't happen a lot, because when it happens, it's just extra funny.
Or frustrating, depending. Like, in this case, it's funny.
Is it? I'm so frustrated by him trying to get his gun. Like,
yes, but I was, like, the best part. The best part is that he does get his gun out after he stabbed and died, and then you suddenly see his gun, like, like,
it's just like in a different movie. Like, he just gets knocked out, right? And then, you know, he wakes up and the battered mom looks at him and he looks at her and they're like, we should be together or something. Like, it's a completely different movie.
Right. But in this case, he is used as a delivery device for the revolver to get into the house so that mom can crawl up from the basement, take it from his corpse, and then fire 3 rounds out of a 6-round gun. Missing once. There's so much wrong with it.
Oh, wait. 6 bullets. How many times did he shoot in the little scene where he's shooting in the target practice? Maybe he just didn't have more bullets. He's like,
that's the problem. He only bought 6.
There we go.
Damn it, Ogilvy. And your stupid car. Sorry. I'm sure it's a fine car.
Hey. There was nothing wrong with his Barracuda.
No, but he did a really great move when he's like coming out of the random people's house who the woman was leaving and the taxi cab is just coming in and he does like the great back out.
That was awesome.
I was like, my car would have flipped over. I would have been dead. That was beautiful driving. That's beautiful driving. But yes, our first Dick Halloran surprise. We should actually freaking do The Shining. Maybe we should have thought about doing all the movies here.
At some point we will, I'm sure.
I guess we've got...
Yeah, well, we'll get to Jason X in like 10 years.
We got Norman Bates. What?
I said we'll get to Jason X in like 10 years.
Well, yeah, I'm sure we'll end up watching another movie that has the same freak out, but it's a better example, and I'll get to stop saying Kinsa all the time. Because, like, obviously she can't be the best example. She's just the only one I can think of that I hate. That I hate with a passion. Like, come on. You just killed everyone. You dumb.
Spoilers.
Sorry. Sorry. I'm going to edit that out.
No, don't.
Number 6. pointless boobies, weird wangs, moonies.
We got one moony. We got a naked butt.
And a weird wang. Well, we got a wang at least.
That's true.
He totally, when he's getting in the shower, is just naked.
Swinging in the breeze.
Yep. I was like, wow, really? You're just going to give me that for free?
And I guess so, we got some side boob, too. When you said
the
first
5 minutes of the movie sold you, that's, yeah, ding dong, and then you're dead. But checkity check check. And Jill Sholin was also naked. It was like her first nude scene in a movie.
Mm-hmm.
Which is just the shower. Everybody's actually only naked in the shower.
As you should be.
Yeah.
I put a bathing suit on when I get in the shower.
Yeah, same. Same. Sometimes leggings or, you know, a parka.
It's like an old 1930s bathing suit, right?
Number 7. Telling, retelling the legend and or establishing the movie's rules, breaking Randy's rules.
Well, the rule is don't disappoint him.
That's true.
I mean, we sort of, kind of, when Ogilvy's talking to the reporter about what happened the year before and killing his family and blah, blah, blah. Like, Ogilvy kind of is trying to, but it's not, I don't know if it's in the same spirit, right? Because it's not like a legend. It's not a, it just happened.
He is he establishing the movie's rules, but also the movie is doing that. They didn't need Ogilvy. He was just kind of extra fluffer.
Right, again, he's just a revolver delivery device. That's all he's there for.
Yeah, exactly. Like, Terry Quinn's character just shows you that he wants perfection in a family and what have you.
That no longer exists.
I don't think it ever existed.
Nope, never did.
But yeah, so basically if they had behaved and been completely perfect women, none of this would have happened.
Exactly. It's all the women's fault.
Also, I like when he's pushing the little girl on the swing and he calls Stephanie Jill, and that's the actress's real name.
Congrats to that girl for actually listening to him, by the way.
Oh, yeah. She recounted everything he said. When they want to.
Yeah. Yeah, when you don't want them to, basically. But yeah, I thought that was funny. Number 8. Dance sequence, montage sequence.
Well,
his guys putting on the thing and pretending to go to work. Was that kind of like a montage of different times he's leaving the house and looking at different properties? And I mean, it's not, I guess, a traditional montage, but it's kind of.
Same with the other dude going by houses, showing the picture, looking for him. Kind of montage-y.
Montage-y.
That was a montage of a scene, though. That was like a one scene montage. You went to one house. Oh, yeah. Have you seen this guy? No? All right, thanks. And that was it. Like, that's all
he went to two houses because he went to one and she was like, the dude opened. Oh, you're not him. And then one where he was the cab driver.
Yeah.
Right, but the scenes weren't like together, though. There was a lot of movie in between.
In my head, they are. They are in my head.
Yeah, yeah. But this is a non traditional montage.
It was a very.
It was two non traditional single scene montages.
Yes. There we go.
That's what we had.
Got it.
Also known as just scenes in a movie.
Well, we felt like they were montages, so.
Scenes from a hat?
Oh, scenes from a hat. I love that. No dance sequence.
No.
Number 9. Someone does stupid shit. Or that scared the shit out of me.
Well, I mean, we've already beaten the dead horse of Ogilvy. And stupid shit he did. So.
No, we can beat it more if we need to. There's also stupid in that tube.
Well, there's that, but there's also the shrink who apparently can't keep his own lie together for 15 minutes.
Oh, yeah, that was
I'm a confirmed bachelor. Yeah, you know, my wife hates when I do that. Dude, you just, like, it hasn't even been enough time for you. Like, how did you forget that? How? Come on, man.
I'm not a liar, per se.
I feel like you could keep that straight for the amount of time that he needed to.
He's a bad one, apparently. The mom, let's be honest.
Love is
until the end of the movie, huh?
Yeah. You're no longer working there? Of course I am. Oh, you are? Okay.
Absolutely clueless. Up until she gets hit in the face with the phone.
Well, and even after that, she's like, what?
She's making the realization at that point, and then
it takes a bit still.
But it took getting hit with the phone to make that realization. Like,
exactly.
She bought it. She completely bought his bullshit, and then he still had to hit her with the phone. Like, come on.
Oh, yeah.
You were in the clear. Just let it go.
One silly thing I noticed, so maybe this is just me that's wrong. So if you're buying a house, or if you're selling a house in his case, and you're telling the people, well, this is the south side, so you'll have plenty of sun all day long, but you're in the front garden. Don't you want your sun in the back garden usually?
It depends on what rooms are in what part of the house.
Yeah, but isn't it usually about the garden?
No, not necessarily. He's probably referring to natural light inside of the house. Okay. Coming through the windows. If you have a south-facing house, you're going to have more natural light inside your house. So,
I'll allow it.
What do you care? You don't have windows, so you don't know what this is like.
I do have windows. Don't trust Monica.
There's
I have
slanty windows that you can't put an air conditioner in, okay? They're slanty.
No, that's just up here. That's where the roof is. But downstairs, where I have walls, they have actual window.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh.
I've never seen these alleged windows.
Perfect size for Chucky to get in and out.
Mm-hmm. Oh, no.
That's all you need.
Oh, no. Yeah, but the clueless mom is not only kind of stupid, but a good trope.
Yeah.
The boyfriend, you know, if you're going to say goodnight with a kiss.
Wow.
Kiss once and go. But he went for more and then he got yelled at.
I mean, look, let's cut that kid some slack. He's 16. He's getting a kiss. Like, I'm going to go for that. He's not expecting.
Don't do it in front of the warden.
Again, 16. Like, not thinking. He's too busy getting kissed. He's not expecting Terry O'Quinn to come busting out the door and yell at him about, sexually molesting his daughter.
Yeah, and undressing her.
Wow. Yeah. Like, he went for it. It was immediately like, and they're on the fucking front step. Like, he wasn't doing nothing. Come the hell on. Come the hell on.
I mean, again, if I have a problem with this movie, there is some inconsistency in a bit of the writing. Like that scene, I can see them having the scene where he gets upset when he finds them kissing on the front porch or something. But that was like, he went from zero to nuclear immediately.
Yeah.
Breaking the perfect image of the family.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I know. I know what they were going for, but the execution of that was not great.
Jerry. Yeah.
Jerry. One thing I did like about that is basically him walking toward, like, the moment she says to him, well, you messed it all up. And then his face is like, okay, time for a next family.
Yeah.
And then afterwards he walks to the road, you know, takes a while, and then they cut basically to him quitting his job. Mm-hmm. That was also funny to me. That was funny.
Yep, yeah. That was the moment he decided, well, I'm done with this family. Let's start working on the next one.
It's time to find the next radius.
Yep.
Well, the stepdaughter's a slut. Mm-hmm.
I like how Ogilvy found the, you know, the, like, this is the house and this is the, what time, where could he have gone where he could have gotten home at the same time? This is the radius. Like, oh, that, yeah, I was like, that's pretty ingenious. This guy's gonna defeat Jerry. I think he's gonna make it.
They tricked us.
Yeah.
Tricked us into thinking he was competent.
It was just like the whole movie. He's tough. He's strong, right? He's mm-hmm. kick-ass. He's pushing the reporter around. You know, he goes up to the guy that his wife is trying to leave him at that time, and he pushes him against the wall. He's like, bah, 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 bah. He's
oh, all that was also funny, by the way, that guy taking him on.
It was just, dude. He is supposed to be this strong, strapping, handsome lad. And the moment he gets there,
so I'm just saying they convinced us that he was competent, and he clearly was not.
No, but it's number 10, solitude shots. So I'm going to go with the scene that Dredd just mentioned, where Jerry's like got that look on his face and he walks from the front porch to like the end of the walkway and whatnot, and he's just kind of, you know, staring off, deciding on leaving the his crane family. Shot. He's just like, we're just there with him.
Yeah, well, because Jerry's all checked out at that moment. Like,
yeah,
the engine's running, but nobody's behind the wheel.
Nobody's there. But I love that scene. It's just
also there's a few shots of the different houses that give you that isolated feel, that like, because it's, again, it's that suburbia, but it's then just a single house with no activity going on around it. You're just seeing what looks like an empty house or the boarded up house before the car pulls up. Kind of gave me that feel too.
There's also the opening.
With the leafy, the leafy street with the paper boy.
And then him as he's walking through the house.
Yeah, that's definitely, that's a good moment. It's got kind of the similar like beginning of Hellraiser that we were talking about, where you kind of like go through the house, except like you have him there with you, but it's the same kind of thing.
It's a very similar feel, yeah.
Speaking of Hellraiser, second movie in a row that says come to daddy.
But we looked it up. Looked it up, and this movie came out like 4 or 5 months before Hellraiser. So, ha! It's like, I thought I remembered Freddy saying it at some point, but I can't remember when that was.
I mean, I'm sure he has.
Right? It sounds like something he said. I swear.
Like, I can hear it in Robert Englund's voice.
Come to daddy. Yeah.
It would have to be Freddy's dead.
I don't know.
Because he's the actual daddy. There. Spoilers. Yeah, he might have been Freddy's dad, actually, in the end. I don't know.
Although, maybe he just said, come to Freddy, and it sounded like daddy. I don't know, whatever.
I'm pretty sure he did stuff with daddy, like give daddy a kiss or something.
Give daddy a kiss was...
We'll have to rewatch this.
First one.
We'll have to
rewatch. And then New Nightmare.
Oh, gross.
The tongue.
Maybe that's what
I'm Yes. I remember Talk that song very well.
two episodes in a row of like creepy dads. Although technically that wasn't her dad. That was just skinless Frank.
I mean, stepdad.
Kinda.
Uncle. Gross.
Uh-huh.
Number 11. Scary score, spooky soundtrack. I know Dredd had some fun with this music. You already kind of mentioned
not stuff. Not really that we'll remember what it was or keep us humming, but the sound.
It was effective.
Job. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But it was good. So you give it a good score.
Yeah, they did well. And it added to the movie, it added to the atmosphere. And yeah.
Sometimes I feel like that Star Trek gif, you know, where they're just like.
Not of approval.
This is great for the podcast listeners.
Yep. Yep. Yep.
If you want to know what the gif looks like, you should be following at Gore Podcast on Twitter. Because that's a place. Number 12. Final girl. Used in a positive way. Yes. Because they killed the only person who was really going to save them. Or, you know, like, going to save them, quote, you know, blah, blah, blah. Like, the daughter, Stephanie, had to fight, had to run. The mom had to pick herself up off of the stairs and whatnot to come back, like you said, like, climb all... Jeez. I don't even know how. I don't think I'd be able to get up from falling down into the basement like that. That is just... That is ridiculously painful.
Adrenaline does amazing things.
That's true. I guess she is saving her daughter, right?
Inspiration.
Yeah. So... I think great final girls, although not the best in the world, but I like what they did with them. I like the message.
Well, and she, I mean, Stephanie did mostly smart things. She didn't do anything dumb, and she did get the knife, wrestled it away, and then stabbed him right in the heart. Like, she didn't mess around.
Yeah.
Well, she That's missed really it, apparently, okay? She missed.
Nope. I'm pretty sure she made it. Maybe he's like a zombie in the second one.
Who knows?
I know I've seen it, but it's been a while. Like, I've seen this more often. It's kind of like this and The Dentist. Like, they're just movies that were on. Stepfather, The Dentist. Anything with, like, a name of somebody. Like, a person. You know, like, you know what I'm saying? What's another one?
A profession. Can't think of anything.
That's not. No. No.
Dead Heat? Oh, wait.
Number 13. The Savini Scale of Gore. It's not the quantity of gore. It's the quality of gore. Special effects and monsters. So how many?
Toupees.
Just, you could have said stabs to the heart or butcher knives to the heart.
It's toupees, yeah. Yes. That was
phones to the
face.
What?
Phones to the face. Phones to the face. Yeah, I like that. Good one, Travis.
Phones to the face. Did we mention how brutal he did stab Ogilvie, by the way? Like, he didn't just stab him. He made sure he was dead forever.
I mean, that's
like,
stuck it
in and up and twisted. He did the whole thing.
Just like I said earlier, when he beat the shit out of the shrink with the 2x4, like, this dude didn't mess around. He went full on for it. He didn't just hit the guy a couple of times with that 2x4. He hit him. Hit him again. Hit him until he knocked down, and he just kept going.
Yeah.
Obviously went to the school of Ender Wiggin.
But yes, so how many phones to the face? Travis.
What we got wasn't much. It was a little bit of blood, but that opening scene, that shot of the house and just the carnage of that living room, I'm going to give it a 5. 5 phones to the face based on the strength of that. The rest of the movie, there's not much to go on. So,
As you were talking, Bella's paws came up into view, and they were just like...
Mm-hmm. She's stretching.
Yeah. It was nice. Faye, how many phones out of whatever? Phones, faces, I couldn't think of.
How many phones out of faces?
How many phones out of faces?
I'll agree with Travis. 5.
Ooh. We're starting a consensus.
Woo-hoo-hoo. And the way that everything was laid out was pretty good. And other than that, there really wasn't much other than the opening house, as Travis said. I mean, the other thing you saw was the shrink getting rolled up into in the plastic.
Well, that plastic looked really good.
Okay. Dreadly.
I'll agree. I mean, it's not really a movie with gore in it. Like, the opening scene was cool, but you didn't see much. Just some blood, basically. The car exploded. To me, it felt a bit weird, the explosion somehow. I don't know how to explain that. Weird timing-wise. You basically have the knife sticking out of his heart, chest, whatever. I would expect more blood there. But yeah, there's not much to show, so there's not much to do wrong either. Yeah. 5 seems good.
Yeah. I would agree. The beginning scene is just really good, and it's a lot of carnage, and it opens your imagination to like the rest of the movie. The brutality of everything kind of heightens just all the kills, basically. Well, mm-hmm. What few kills we had. And the violence. It was a little too real. Once again, it's a very realistic movie based on real life things. And that adds to it being, you know, just scary. So I'm going to also give it 5 phones out of phones to the face. I can't think of the words. Yes. Ha ha.
Full consensus. Yay.
Bella agrees.
Yes, she does.
Mm-hmm. And that'll wrap up the 13 for this episode. And now we'll play What the Hell Was That? It's where we play a clip from our next movie, provided by our clip curator, Dreadly. Play the clip, Dreadly.
That, but in Japanese.
Can you guess that movie? Give it a try next Friday when we post our gift clues on Twitter. To do that, follow us on Twitter at Gore Podcast. First person to guess it correctly gets a shout out on the next episode, and you can be like Squatch, who guessed it correctly. Woo! Go Squatch!
Well, good luck guessing this movie. Like, not this one, but like the one from last week that we just talked about.
Yep.
Think about that.
It makes sense if you don't think about it.
Yeah, I try not to.
Timey-wimey.
No emails this week, but if you'd like to send us an email, you can email the show at gorepodcast13@gmail.com. And we do so love emails. They're nice.
We want to hear from you. Please email us. Please.
We like
you. We want to believe you. Oh.
You can support us on Patreon by going to patreon.com/gore13 and becoming one of our patrons. And special announcement, for most of the year, there is a certain level that you can be at or higher where you get to watch a movie with us once a month. But for the month of October, we are going to extend that to everybody who is a patron. So everybody will be invited to the October movie night event. And I'm going to keep that as like an annual thing, as long as it goes well and, you know, people don't fight or nothing, which I'm sure won't happen because that doesn't make any sense. But yeah, so if you sign up to be a patron by October 1st, I believe should be like the cutoff date for that.
Yep.
You know, you can come watch our movie with us and, we'd love to see you there. Shut up.
We're not going to subject our listeners to that movie.
Well, if they want to.
We're not going to sit there and watch it with them, is what we're trying to say.
You're going to make them watch it alone?
I'm going to make you watch it alone, okay?
I would.
He'd watch it every day if he could.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I will say that I mentioned it to somebody in the mutant family community about the Sky Sharks thing, and they actually went and watched it, and they enjoyed it. And now they think Dredd has good taste.
There is no accounting for taste.
Thank you.
Well, they listen to the show now, so I think they might.
I stand by my previous statement.
Oh, it's okay, Winter Soldier. We appreciate you.
Yes, we do.
Look, I'm just counting down to the day where we finally watch it. And then Travis will be like, well, that was the best movie ever.
That'll never happen.
Oh.
Yeah. I can't even imagine what world you were living in that you thought that might even happen. Or he might accidentally say the wrong words. That might happen. Maybe.
He might have a stroke and say the complete opposite of what he's thinking.
Yeah, he might accidentally and then have to correct himself.
I'll take it. I'll take it.
Travis, since you're going to be in hiding, where can people find you?
Easiest place to find me is on Twitter, at TV's Travis. I'm most active there. And yeah. Twitter.
Faye, where can people find you?
Also on Twitter, at Chibi Faylin.
And finally, Dreadly, tell people how they can travel to the bowels of hell to find you.
Well, I've put all my links to Twitter, Twitch, YouTube, whatever, on a little website called thedreadzone.com. And where can people find you, Monica?
Well, you can follow... Somebody's tired and needs bed.
Yes, yes, I do.
Getting a little punch drunk over there.
Well, you can follow me on Twitter and Twitch at WickedKitten13. And you can check out my Hearthstone podcast called Hearth Casual, which I mentioned earlier. All where you get podcasts. And yeah, now we're going to go to bed. Thank you everyone for listening. And I hope we made it a little harder to fall asleep tonight. Wait, who am I here?
You're not my dad.